All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. Good morning, God. Thank you so much for bringing us together in your presence to praise you. Thank you for this church family and all the love that we all have for you. Amen. All right, you may have noticed if you've been here the past couple of weeks that we're kind of focused on one topic. We're talking about families and children and their importance. Some of you may have heard of George Barna. He does a lot of research into Christianity and families and statistics. He wrote the book, Transforming Children into Spiritual Champions, and he's known for his heart-challenging research concerning beliefs, habits, and trends in American Christianity. And some of these are a wake-up call for Christian churches today. I asked for some helpers today. Let me see. Valentine, Stephanie, and I did ask for Mina and Maya, but I think that may not be happening. I think Mina was protesting that. So I might pick on somebody else. I thought I saw the Vacas here earlier, but maybe they had grumpy children too. All right, maybe they're not here. But Valentine and Stephanie, please come up. All right. Come here, guys. Here. All right. So, how old are you, Stephanie?
9.
Can I get this turned on? I'm sorry. I didn't ask ahead of time. It's my fault. Try again. How old are you?
9.
9. You know what George Barna writes about you? By the age of 9, most of the moral and spiritual foundations of a child are set in place. It also appears that by the time the child reaches this age, it is much more difficult to change an existing view than to form a new view. Hey, look, it's Madeline. Hey, Madeline, do you want to come up here? Thanks. They heard my call for help. I appreciate you coming up here. All right. By the age of, how old are you?
13.
13, your spiritual identity is largely set in place. 9, 13. This means that our largest window of opportunity, hey Robert, come here. I want both of you, just because I want a younger one as well. You're helping me out, I appreciate it. Look at him. Madeline, thank you for being here. And this is Madison. I want you guys to get a visual here. This is our greatest window of opportunity for discipling our children. From the youngest to 13 is where they learn the most about God. Thank you so much for your help. You can go back to your seats. Thank you, Madeline. And thank you, Robert and Madison, for being my last-minute helpers. All right. That's a pretty shocking statistic, isn't it? That's our greatest window? We put so much effort, even into our youth group, and don't get me wrong, I am a strong advocate for our youth group. But even then, what we really need to focus on is their most formative years. Jesus gave us a valuable insight into this the day he almost missed seeing the children. See, Jesus was a very important person to his disciples and to many people. Everyone anywhere around him wanted to be close to him. He was often surrounded by crowds. He was very busy preaching sermons that made people think and scratch their chins and, you know, really open their hearts and change their lives. And he was healing people, 6 Sadducees, paralytic Pharisees, a host of the blind, deaf, and dumb. Jesus was very busy. And as the day wore on, the disciples did what disciples do. They brought people to Jesus, and they'd gotten very good at this. They had brought Nicodemus and the chief priest, the leaders of the synagogue, many people of consequence and high standing. That very afternoon, they would bring a rich young ruler to God, to come see Jesus. See, this is what disciples did. And so they knew what to do when they saw a group of rowdy, skipping, yelling, rambunctious children running towards Jesus, followed by a bunch of young, out-of-breath mothers. Stop! Can't you see Jesus is too busy? Jesus caught on to this. And Jesus' response teaches us a lot about what our response towards children should be. The first thing Jesus says in that text that we read this morning is, "Let the little children come to me." Jesus doesn't suggest it, hey, next time when you think about it, go ahead, you know, let them come on to me. No, he calls his disciples to immediate action. Do not stop them from coming. Invite children to come to me. The next thing Jesus said was, do not hinder them. What does that mean? What does it mean not to hinder? Think about where our children go. They go to school, and at school, they have teachers that are wonderfully nice to them, and they see their teachers being nice to each other, and they go to the zoo, and they go to the store, and they see people being very, very friendly and nice, and they get down on their level and say, how are you today? Now, what if our children come to church and are ignored? Beyond that, do you realize that our children hear things, that their ears are much better than ours? So even when they're at this level, and you're up here whispering about somebody else, they hear it. If church is the least loving place they go to, we are hindering children from coming to Jesus. So beyond do not hinder, what are we doing to invite our children? What are we doing? We have a large impact in our children on our children's lives today. I have some helpers in a skit this morning. If I can get them to look up from whatever they're doing and come up forward, that'd be good. Yeah, go ahead and sit. All right, just really fast. Are we good with the mic, the multi-directional mic? Okay. All right, and action. Time out. Speak up.
Okay, guys, welcome to the first meeting of the Ought to Be Club. So, why don't we start by introducing ourselves? Okay, how about, how do you like school, and what's your favorite fast food? Okay, then how about places you've traveled in your life or famous celebrities you've met? Or maybe somebody has a good fishing story that...
Knock it off, Michelle. What do you think this is, Mr. Nerdlinger's psychology class?
Yeah, I thought this was going to be a club, not a therapy group.
So what are we going to do? Five girls don't exactly make up a club.
Well, I thought if we got together and compared some notes and stuff, maybe we could find a way to get our parents off our backs.
I guess I can start.
All right, go ahead.
Well, for one thing, my parents always tell me you ought to be deciding what I'm gonna be doing in 20 years from now. I mean, I can barely decide what I'm gonna do tomorrow.
Hey, don't complain. At least you have a mom and a dad. My mom is so worried I'm gonna become a loser like my dad. She doesn't trust me. And she's always comparing me to my older sister. You ought to be more like Bridget. She never do this or that. And she thinks that if she gets on my case enough, I'll turn out to be the perfect daughter. All I really want to do is be me.
Your mom doesn't sound so bad, but take my parents for example. They let me do anything. Sometimes they suggest I ought to be doing this or I ought to be thinking about that, but they never follow through. I could tell my mom I'm going to become a mass murderer and she'd be like, oh, that's wonderful, honey, whatever makes you happy. I just need some direction in my life.
Hey, I don't have any choices. My parents have already made up my mind for me. I can hear my mom giving me, when you go to college, you ought to be the head cheerleader. You ought to be the best student in the university. You ought to be grateful for all we've given you. The fact is, all the ought to be's are what she never got to be. She's forcing me to live out all of her dreams.
Well, now that we know what we ought to be, what are we gonna be?
Thanks. They know what they ought to be, but what are they gonna be? A lot of that is up to the guidance we give them. But we have to remember that Jesus never told us to train our children to be more like adults. Do you have time to invest in your children's future? Beyond not hindering them, are you doing things to invite children to Jesus? Don't neglect to do those things. Don't be too busy to volunteer in the life of a child. And don't be too overscheduled that you can't be a spiritual mentor to your own child. Now, I know some of you are saying, you don't know what overscheduled is. You don't have children. And you're right. I don't. And don't worry. I'll get there. Just don't rush me. I don't have children yet. But I can tell you about my own parents. When I was 6, my mother started medical school. And my father was a full-time pastor. And I remember people coming up to me at church and going, oh, you poor thing, you must never see your parents. And I looked at them like, you're crazy, what are you talking about? They're my parents, I see them all the time. Because they made my sister and I a priority in their incredibly busy lives. And I was raised in this church that made children a priority. You guys put up with me playing my screechy violin on this stage and praised God for it. And I felt loved and welcomed by this church. And my parents took time to have family worship every day and to talk to me about my questions. And I remember singing with my dad in the car. And I look back at that and think, my dad sang in the car with me? But he wasn't too proud to be a spiritual mentor to his kids to do what they wanted to do, despite their busy lives. And let me tell you about Mike. Mike's 7-year-old son, Justin, was kicked in the head by a horse. He was flown by helicopter to the nearest hospital, but he died. In the shock and grief of the following days, Mike thought of the thousands of memories he had of his son. He thought of the sacrifices he had made in his work, losing sleep, giving up personal time, all to invest in time with his son. He thought of all the time he'd set aside to play with Justin, to answer his endless questions, and to tell him about Jesus. This dad, with tears streaming down his face, stood up at the funeral and said, I have no regrets. How would you feel looking back? Are you taking time to invest in the life of a child? The next thing Jesus said was, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Now, if you've been listening to some of our sermons, you may have realized that the kingdom of God is not the idea of this far-off place that is coming someday. When Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he's talking about what lives in our lives now, the Holy Spirit in our lives now. We are the kingdom of God when we have Christ in us. And here Jesus says that it belongs to the children first, not to us adults. And if you've ever spent any time with children, you know what I'm talking about. You've seen it in them. I worked at summer camp for a long time, and I was a counselor. And I loved the little kids. We called them cub campers. And sometimes they come as young as 6, but usually they're 7, 8, 9, and it was just fun to be with them. And there are these 2 little girls I remember. Now, keep in mind, I worked a camp in the South. So one of the girls' names was Ricky Jean. And the other girl was Lindsay. And they were both just adorable 7-year-olds. Now, you could tell who had a stable home life and who didn't. Ricky Jean just proved over and over to be a wonderful girl with just love in her heart and just a fun person, and Lindsay was struggling a little. And one day, I heard a fight coming from the girls' room, and I went back there, and it turned out that Lindsay had a flashlight, a Nosoka Pines Ranch flashlight, that's where I worked, that Ricky Jean said was hers. Well, there was no way to prove it at that moment, so I took the flashlight away. The next day, I went to the camp store where they keep a record of all purchases. And on the record, it said that the flashlight belonged to Ricky Jean. Lindsay had never bought a flashlight. And it broke my heart. A 7-year-old had stolen. A 7-year-old in my cabin, one of these precious little ones, had stolen. So they were playing over at the pool, and we pulled them into the camp office. And first, we talked to Lindsay and said, Lindsay, you stole the flashlight from Ricky Jean. And she hung her head and she said, I know. And we brought Ricky Jean in and we said, you need to apologize to her. And Lindsay said she was sorry. And Ricky Jean said, that's okay. And they left, and I went, this is gonna ruin the rest of the week. Our cabin is gonna fight, there's gonna be this, you know, it's just gonna be a hassle the rest of the week between these two. And I went over to the pool, and you know what I saw? Two girls playing together, Ricky Jean and Lindsay, like nothing had happened, like they were best friends. The incident was completely forgotten the moment it happened. If that happened between adults or teenagers, do you think it would be over that fast? If you knew somebody stole from you, would you be their best friend the next minute? But with these children, it wasn't even a second thought. The friendship was more important than worrying about some silly little flashlight. Later that week, I had prayer with my girls on a Friday night, and I told them, and if you want Jesus in your heart, all you have to do is ask. We went around and prayed, and we were holding hands, and little Ricky Jean was next to me. And at the end of her prayer, she said, and Jesus, please come into my heart. And then she opened her big blue eyes, and she looked at me, and she said, now Jesus is in my heart. And from what I had seen with her all week, I knew it was true. She'd been a spiritual leader to another girl in the cabin without even knowing it. I just think it's absolutely amazing. I'm going to tell another story that I didn't ask permission for, and two girls in the audience and the congregation are going to glare at me, but it's about Alexis and Kylie and Kirsten Beach. When I did Bible studies with them last year, I told them that during the week they should try having prayer together. And you know they did? They set up a time to get together on the playground and have prayer together. When was the last time you had prayer at your workplace? Or set up a time to have prayer with friends in a public place? And yet they were willing to risk their friends seeing to get together and have prayer together. And when I saw them the next week, they were so excited about it, and I was just so proud of them. They weren't ashamed of their love for God. The kingdom of God belongs to our children. The last thing Jesus did is something beautiful that is rarely done these days. Jesus personally blessed the children. Mark 10:16 adds to the picture. It's beautiful. And he took the children in his arms. He didn't keep them at a distance. He didn't hold them back. He took them in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Children need to receive the blessing of their parents. You know, it was something that was commonly done in the Old Testament. Many times, children looked towards and looked forward to the blessing of their father. I want you to try blessing your children in your own home. I mean it. Give it a shot. It sounds weird. Here's one possible way to do it. You can place your hand on their head or shoulder. Draw them in close. Hold them close so they feel your love. Affirm them as a person. Tell them you love them. And claim a Bible promise on their behalf. An example would be, Chad, you are a special part of this family. I love you with all my heart. And I claim James 1:5 for your life. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So Chad, this next week, when you're going through some tough times, don't forget to talk to God, and he'll give you wisdom to get through. It sounds kind of odd, but your children will notice and appreciate that you made God real in their lives, and you applied the Bible to their lives for them. I have some challenges for you today. Take the time to pray for our children. Prayer changes us, it changes our hearts, it changes things. Our children need our prayers, and they need God close to them. Secondly, take time to invest in a child. I know many of you aren't parents, and I'm not a parent, but there are many, many ways you can invest in children. You can help out a church family with watching their kids sometimes when they need it. I know that happens. There are mentoring programs. I've been working with getting involved with the Corona Police Department and mentoring a child who needs it. There are plenty of programs in this church. Sabbath school divisions, pathfinders. While our youth weren't the main focus of this sermon, they are still a wonderful group of kids who need spiritual mentors in their lives. So if you want to get involved in the youth group, please let me know. There are many, many ways. Are you willing to take the time to invest where it matters, where Christ told us that it matters? One more way is a program we've been talking about, the Kids in Discipleship, but it's not just for children. We first do a discipling program for all the adults, and you don't have to be a parent. It's about learning to be a disciple of Christ better, something that I am still daily learning, and I hope that each of us are still trying to learn more about how to be a disciple of Christ. We invite you to join in this program. We'll be starting a new series up in a couple of weeks. We'll let you know. And then, once you've been through it yourself, think about volunteering to lead the next group. Because this is not just another program that we're going to do for a little while and get rid of. This is about discipling our children. Are you willing to invest your time to what really matters, to what Christ said matters? Because unless you accept the kingdom of God like a child, Christ said, then you won't get it. You won't understand. And it's definitely hard to understand children if you don't spend time with them. Take the time to invest in what Christ said matters. Are you willing to do that? We're going to have prayer, but I'm going to give you a few minutes of silence to pray for you to ask God if there is some area in your life that you're needing to invest more in children. Let me say that this is not meant to be a guilt trip. I know many of you are already doing some wonderful things with children, and I think that is absolutely great. But let's all pray because God can always teach us more, and we can refocus our lives to doing not just keeping busy, but doing what God wants. Let's bow our heads. Lord God, please guide us so that we are not just focused on busy, but focused on you so you can show us what you want to be doing with our time. In your name, amen.